Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
One of the saddest statements in the Bible, in my way of thinking, is found in a most familiar context. You recall the Lord's statement in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. He said, "Enter ye in at the narrow gate, for broad is the gate, and wide is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But narrow the gate, and straitened the way that leadeth unto life everlasting, and few there be that find it." But you think for a moment about that broad way that leads to destruction. Jesus said, many, most people in this old world today are in the broad way that leads to eternal ruin. And that is a tragedy beyond description when you think of the love of God. God so loved you and me. John 3:16, the world, not terra firma, as we've often noted. No, sinners, such as I, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And most people are lost, right? But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6, verse 23. That's correct. And yet, most people are lost. That's true. Why would that be the case when you really stop to think about this thing? We're basically intelligent creatures. Yeah, some more than others, and I way down the line, but that's beside the point. I can understand God's Word. But why are most people in the broad way that leads to eternal ruin? Friends, most people simply do not believe in God. They do not believe in Jesus Christ as God's Son. As a matter of fact, many people simply do not believe that mankind is lost. Why would that be the case? Oh, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 at verse 17. Are you aware that most people simply do not read the Bible? As a matter of fact, in polls that have been taken, a very small percentage of the people, especially in our enlightened land, read the Bible with any degree of regularity. Now, some people pick it up and they'll read a word or two here and maybe a chapter there and a little in the Old and some in the New Testament, but they do not read the Bible consistently. And many people think the Bible is filled with old wives' fables and old sayings that are handed down. Friends, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, both of joints and marrow, quick to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's from Hebrews chapter 4 at verse 12. This book is unique, different from any other book. It knows you and me better than we know ourselves. And if I will read it with any degree of consistency and understanding, change my life completely. No wonder Paul said, study, King James Version. The American Standard says, give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 at verse 15. It is so important that I personally examine the Word of God. Are you aware of the very next statement contained in that context, Matthew 7, 13 and 14? Oh, in verse 15, Jesus said, beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but they are ravening wolves. Wait a minute, Lord. What did you say? He said, enter ye in at the narrow gate. You see, there's only one way to be saved. Oh, but there are limitless numbers of ways in which one can be lost. There is only one gospel, good news of human redemption. Oh, but there are multiplied thousands of false doctrines. Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Friends, too many people today follow the instruction of men without examining God's Word. You see, Acts 17, verse 11, Paul talks about the nobility of the people involved. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. in that they receive the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily whether these things were so. It is interesting, isn't it? And yet there is also a class of people who may hear the good news, the word of God, the gospel, and occasionally they read the Bible, but they simply do not believe what it has to say. And that's a tragic thing, but that's always been true of frail, misguided humanity. You recall, of course, in Genesis chapter 6, and we've talked of it many times, man's wickedness became great in the earth. Came to pass, men began to multiply upon the face of the ground, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took unto them wives of all that they chose, and consequently, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every thought and imagination of his heart was only evil, and that continually. And repented God that he had made man, and so he resolved to destroy all that breathed the breath of life, man and beast, in a great flood. And verse 8 says that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Now that's an interesting thought. Noah found grace, that's unmerited favor, in the eyes of God. So have we. Titus 2 verse 11, the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. So salvation is made available to all humanity. That's right. Oh, no, we don't deserve it. Unmerited favor. The grace of God has made salvation available to us. But let's go back to Noah. The grace of God gave Noah instruction to escape death in the flood. Right. Grace always gives instruction. That's what it does. Make thee an ark. Make it of gopher wood. Room shall make in the ark. Pitch it within and without with pitch. Three decks. One door in the side thereof. One window. And to a cubit upward shalt thou finish it. Etc. 350 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. What are you doing here, Lord? The unmerited favor of God is giving Noah an opportunity to escape death in the flood. Now, it's interesting that the Apostle Peter tells us, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Now, that's most interesting indeed. He was a preacher of righteousness. Now, righteousness, Psalms 119, verse 172, let my lips sing of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Well, then what was Noah preaching? Well, God had told Noah, man's days will be 120 years, and I'm going to send a flood, and all in whose nostrils is breathed the breath of life will die. Make thee an ark. Make it of gopher wood. Room shalt thou pitch in the ark, make in the ark, etc. 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. He gave him specific instructions for the construction of a vessel that would save him from the flood. Noah no doubt told the people about this. He's a preacher of righteousness. This is what God said. That's righteousness. And so Noah informed his associates, the people of his day, of the impending flood, and that they should make an ark. They should have a means of escape from the flood, the water. You don't have to drown. Nobody paid any attention, really, to Noah. And you remember that Jesus, in talking about his second coming, he said, it shall be as it was in the days of Noah. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage, until the day come and the flood took them away. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Right. Why didn't they know? Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Sure, they had heard about the impending flood. They simply didn't believe it. They did not believe it. You know, many people are that way today about the Word of God. No, it's not general, and there are not multiple doctrines taught, and it isn't a matter of what I believe and you believe, and we're both all right, and let's walk along together. You go north, and I'll go south. And No. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, verse 32. Jesus said, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, verse 17. So this word says the same thing to you that it says to me. But it's most interesting, and a sad condition indeed, that when it's preached, many people simply do not believe it. They're not going to accept it. That's covered, of course, in the proof, in the Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. The word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. To whom is the word of the cross foolishness? Those who will lose their souls. Those who will perish. Oh, no, that's not annihilation. You see, made in the image and the likeness of God, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, you are an immortal spirit. There's no way that you can cease to be. You will live forever. But there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Perish, separated from God in a place prepared for the devil and his angels. But to whom will that be the case? I mean, who's going to be separated, alienated from God? Oh, those to whom the word of the Lord is foolishness. Friends, it is sad that most men are lost when God has made ample, abundant provision for the salvation of our souls. You know, one of the problems, men will listen to men when they simply turn a deaf ear to the Lord. They are not willing to hear what the Lord has to say. And yet, men can come along with great fanfare and advertising and bring in a crowd of people, teach all kinds of false doctrines, make it sound just real exciting. People just follow them by the thousands. And, of course, are lost. They know nothing about the truth of God. Well, someone says, preacher, when these fellows come and they're highly educated and smooth talkers and likable people, I mean, how are we going to know? Oh, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. That's 1 John chapter 4 at verse 1. How am I going to try a prophet, a speaker, one who comes bringing... check out what he says against what God said. Friends, base your faith upon a thus saith the Lord, not upon human philosophy. Don't follow in the pathway of men. Follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Why, certainly, we can know that. As a matter of fact, when you read this book regularly, when you have an excellent knowledge of truth, and everyone can possess that knowledge, then you can't be misled. No, you know false doctrine when it's taught. The first word of it, it just stands out like a sore thumb. There's no way that you can be deceived if you know the truth. And that's the basic problem with the people in our world today. They simply do not know the truth. And the reason they do not know the truth is because they don't study God's Word. They don't pick up the Bible. They don't read God's divine revelation. Oh, they can be misled. It is amazing. You know, some of these so-called preachers come along, and some of them even teach, once saved, always saved. Yes, sir. Once you're a child of God, then you can't be lost. You're always a child. Can you imagine such a thing? Yeah, just a couple of verses in the Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 2, 20 through 22. For if after they have received a knowledge of the truth, escaped from the corruption that is in the world, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the second state is worse for them than the beginning. Better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered. It's happened unto them after the true proverb. The sow that was washed returns to wallowing in the mire, the dog turning again to his own vomit. Peter, what are you talking about? Oh, he's talking about one who has heard the truth, those who have obeyed the fundamental principles of the gospel, have escaped the defilement that's in the world through the knowledge of God's word. Oh, he said, if they are again entangled therein and overcome. Oh, but some of these preachers say, now you can't be entangled and overcome. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Friends, that is as false and as ridiculous as can be. And you can easily prove it. Just read the book. That's just one verse. Oh, there are many references showing that the children of God can be lost. There's no question about that. Oh, but if you want to be saved, very simple process. Why? All you have to do is just give your life to the Lord. And that simply means that you comply with the instruction contained in His Word. Oh, and it is secure. There's no danger therein at all. You're constantly covered by the blood of Christ. Oh, but if you get away from this and you start listening to the doctrines and the philosophies of men, you'll be entangled therein and overcome. And he said the second state is worse with them than the beginning. How could that be? because once a person knows the truth and then rejects it, it's very difficult to reestablish truth in his heart. He has already preferred something above the truth that makes men free. It is very, very difficult to restore him to his first love. But the idea of once saved, always saved, well, that's totally false. And then almost all religionists in this country today, save the Lord's people, believe in the doctrine referred to as premillennialism. Now, there may be varying concepts of premillennialism, but essentially it simply suggests that the second coming of Christ will precede a thousand-year reign by him on David's throne in literal Jerusalem. You know that's false. All you have to do is just read one verse in the Scripture. It is amazing. Jeremiah 22, verse 30. You remember that Jeconiah was the king when Nebuchadnezzar finally utterly destroyed Judah and carried the last of the captives down into Babylon for a period of some 70 years. Oh, and Jeremiah said, calling this man Coniah, that's Jeconiah, but it's shortened here in this, write this man childless. No more shall a seed of this man prosper, sitting on David's throne and reigning in Judah. Oh, and if you'll read verse 11 of Matthew chapter 1, you will observe that Jeconiah was in the ancestry of Jesus. The lineage of Jesus involves Coniah. What did you say, Lord, through Jeremiah 22, verse 30? Oh, no more shall a seed of this man prosper, sitting on David's throne and reigning in Judah. It can't be done. Christ couldn't do that. He would be in violation of the will of God. The very idea. The entire concept of premillennialism is false. Pre means before, millennium means a thousand, ism means it ain't so. Friends, you need to check into the doctrines and the philosophies of men. This is a part of the reason why most men are in the broad way that leads to eternal ruin. And how many do you know today who teach good people? We're not talking about bad people. They teach sincere people that salvation is by faith only. All one must do is simply believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Well, friend, if you just check what you hear in light of God's Word, you'd know better than that. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. That's James chapter 2 at verse 24. But then that's evident when you read the Bible, and especially when you read the New Testament. No. Faith is made manifest in humble obedience to the Lord's will. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John chapter 14 at verse 15. Well, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. 1 John 5 at verse 3. Oh, he's the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Hebrews 5. Well, certainly. Jesus is the author of salvation to whom? Oh, those who believe in him. Who are those who believe in him? Those who do what he said. Who have heard of believing in someone and calling him a liar? Who ever heard of believing in someone and saying what he says, irrelevant, non-essential, unnecessary, you don't have to do? That's not called faith. No. Faith is made manifest in doing what the Lord said. Didn't he say in Luke 6, verse 46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Friends, he's not the Lord of your life till in humble submission you obey his commandments. Oh, then you are recipient of the benefits predicated upon that faith. There's no question about that. All kinds of false teaching is being done. What about the nobility of those Bereans? Oh, receive the word with all readiness of mind, examining the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Most people are lost simply because they flatly refuse to believe God's word. Why would they refuse to believe God's word? Well, because they've already been confused by the false teaching of men who wear sheep's clothing, but they are ravening wolves. They are going to destroy your soul. Paul, you remember, made a statement, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit saith expressly that in later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies. branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by them that believe and know the truth. But wait a minute, let's examine that passage. The Spirit, yes, the Spirit guided the apostles into the inerrant recording of the sum total of God's Word, John chapter 16 and verse 13, we understand that. So the Spirit informs us, speaketh expressly, that in later times some shall depart from the faith. On what basis? Oh, they will give heed to the seducing false theories and doctrines of men who speak lies. Now, let's be sure we understand this. On occasion, you quote such passage, somebody says, "Preacher, you're saying he's a sorry individual, he's a reprobate." No. He may do a lot of good. As a matter of fact, he may be a kind gentleman. He may sacrifice of himself and his substance for the good of others. We're not saying that. We're not talking about bad people. No. But unless he speaks according to the Word of God, he's a liar. If he teaches a doctrine counter to the truth, then it's a lie. It doesn't matter what kind of character he has, how much good he may do. It's a matter of the presentation of truth. "I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts. Or they'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside unto fables." Be thou faithful in all things. Do the work of an evangelist. Suffer hardship. Fulfill thy ministry. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Friends, our responsibility is to preach no more and no less than a "thus saith the Lord." And if any man comes along preaching something else, he is not teaching truth, he's teaching a lie. So we're not running down, as it were, the character of an individual. He may have been taught that way. He may be very sincere. Now, I remember the Apostle Paul, Saul from the city of Tarsus. Why, he killed Christians. When they were put to death, he said, "I gave my vote against them." He was keeping the garments of those who stoned the first Christian martyr to death in Acts chapter 7, you remember. But he was wrong. He said, "Men and brethren, I've lived in all good conscience before God and man until this day." Acts chapter 23 at verse 1. But he was wrong. Friends, men can be wrong due to background teaching and instruction. But if good men are wrong, if they teach error, and we have confidence in them, they do a lot of... Friend, read the Bible. Check what you hear in light of what the Lord has said. Well, now somebody says, "I can't understand..." You're going to understand this a lot better than you can understand the false philosophies that you hear. Why, certainly. This is written down between the 6th and 8th grade level. Oh, yes, delete the proper names from Old and New Testaments. The length of the average word is a little less than 5 letters. Oh, and many of those words are monosyllable, single-syllable words. There's no problem with understanding the Word of God. The problem is men do not read, men do not study, men do not make it a point to understand God's Word. It's easier just to listen to what some religious fellow says and, you know, "I'm going to join this or join..." Lose your soul. Anything you can join that's religious in nature will, of course, condemn you. Check it out. Be sure that you base your faith upon a "thus saith the Lord." Faith in Jesus Christ, turning away from the practice of sin and repentance. Upon an acknowledgement of that faith, one is to be buried with his Lord in baptism. That's in order to the remission of sins, Acts 2, verse 38. But many false teachers deny this, and people just go right on following those fellows, even though they're lying, and never check into the Word of God to see what the Lord would have us do. May God help us to study His Word. Friends, it is a tragedy beyond description that most men are lost. God loves you. God allowed His Son to suffer on the cross. He provided through the shed blood of His Son the simple instruction through which you and I can stand in a right relationship with Himself. And it's one of the saddest things at all that intelligent humanity, in the broad way that leads to eternal ruin, when salvation is as clear as a bell. It is made available in the blood seal covenant of God's Son. We need to read and study God's Word. We need to give some time to an understanding of this simple message. Friends, let me urge you to read the Bible every day. How much? He didn't say, but read it sincerely, diligently, every day. Pay close attention to exactly what it has to say. May God bless.